All right, so we promised we're going to talk a little bit about Chicago politics, but more importantly, what I think is progressive politics, the Chicago Progressive Reform Caucus, which now is 18 members. What you think about that? A couple of years ago, it was two, like maybe three. Obviously, this is their city council in the sense that they were elected in droves this past election, as well as a mayor who ran on a progressive platform as well. Now, with the 2020 budget just around the corner in October, we've heard from the mayor. She talked to us directly in the primetime speech about possibly all of us having some shared responsibility in filling this budget hole. And we find out what the Chicago Progressive Reform Caucus wants to do as they release their priorities today. Alderman Matt Martin is a new alderman up in the 47th Ward, and he joins me on the line now. Alderman Martin, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, so let's get into this. First, you say it's a fair and equitable budget with socially responsible investments in revenue. What does that mean?
Well, it means the things that we've been campaigning on, both as candidates as well as now as elected officials, where we're asking people who have been doing well, especially as we've been transitioning from a manufacturing-based economy to a service sector economy, to pay their fair share. So that means moving away from regressive property taxes, which put too much of a burden on our working and poor individuals. It means moving away from regressive fees and fines that have ticketed thousands of folks into bankruptcy, and moving towards a budget that reflects our values, a budget that really reflects the fact that we have significant community needs around equity, and we can't wait. We need that immediately.
Okay, so let's get into that a little bit, because when you talk about rolling back some of the regressive taxes or fine systems that we've seen, and we've seen this with the red light cameras, and we've seen this with the excessive ticketing and unfair ticketing and inequitable ticketing when it comes to communities of color, that money needs to be made up. So how do you see that being made up, as well as helping the mayor figure out how to address an $800 million hole?
Yeah, these are the sorts of things that we've been talking about all week long. And so a few of our bigger ticket items are TIF surplus, making sure that as we have a record amount of money in our TIF coffers. I mean, last year for fiscal year 2018, the county clerk just said it's $841 million. That's about the size of our budget gap. So you start with surplusing those TIF funds that haven't been used. It means talking about sales tax modernization, in particular, corporate services around law firms, consulting firms, big accounting firms, asking them to pay their fair share in the ways that people who are manufacturing goods, we do that from a sales tax mm-hmm. standpoint already, reinstituting the corporate head tax that we had for 40 years, again, making sure that those companies, we've had like over 60 large corporate leader locations, asking them to kick in a little bit as opposed to those working class folks through property taxes and sales taxes. And then finally, things like more progressive rideshare fees, as well as payment in lieu of taxes pilot programs, where you ask some of your really large nonprofit hospitals as well as colleges to kick in a little bit more, given the significant property yeah. tax breaks that they all receive.
I like that one a lot, because that's something we've seen in our society, where property taxes have, churches and universities haven't paid. And you've seen this in other cities as well, where they've almost gone to a bargaining table to say, okay, it's not property tax necessarily, it's something else, but you got to pay something.
That's right. We've got cities like Boston, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. They do that because you have situations where you have a large, really kind of corporate-like college or university where they're gobbling up surrounding properties, and you might put one office in a building and then say everything else in there is entitled to that same property tax break. That's just not equitable.
Okay, so let's get into the corporate tax and the idea of getting people to pay their fair share, because how do you stop corporations, or if you're going to go after high-end consultant services or even, as you say, the service industry, how do you stop them from just making the services they provide more expensive to cover the fact that they are now getting taxed? Because that seems to be what usually happens to the middle class and to people who will be all for the concept of equitable budgeting, but then find themselves on the short end of the stick after these things are put in place.
Yeah, it's a great point, and that's where, with sales tax modernization in particular, we can't impose that unilaterally as a city. We'll have to work with our colleagues down in Springfield to bring that in. And so you are focused on some of those higher-end services, and so I think that's where you're talking with legislators in Springfield to make sure that we have sensible policies there when it comes to tax on services. But I think it's also important for folks to recall that many of our neighboring states have taxes on services. And so I think this concern about us like really being out in front in an aggressive way from a tax standpoint, I mean, it's really bringing us to parity to make sure that we're reflecting really the broader move in our economy, which is we're no longer a manufacturing-based economy. We're a service sector economy. So we're increasingly squeezing that manufacturing base here, particularly as it's shrinking. And so we need to have a budget and ways of bringing in revenue that reflect those changes, and in many cases reflect the ways that our sister states have already gone over the last several decades.
Okay,
we're lagging here.
Many who might be listening this that don't necessarily live in Chicago and don't share the same sort of politics of the Progressive Reform Caucus, they will say, why all this talk about tax? Why all this talk about generating revenue? Shouldn't you be looking on the expense side? Should Chicago be looking at cutting some of the expenses and cutting some of this stuff back, or rooting out corruption and the kind of things that are said before we start getting to the fact that regardless of what service tax you put on anybody, they're always going to kick the can to the next, and it's always working class and middle class people who seem to carry the load.
So our caucus is working to do both simultaneously, which is what we need. I mean, we need to have a balanced budget in place by the end of the year. And so one of the things that we're taking very seriously as a caucus, including some of our more senior members who are in positions of leadership in terms of committee chairs, is we're holding subject matter hearings. Because before, what you would have, you would not be having the subject matter hearings where you're building up that reservoir of knowledge so that when it's budget season, you can come in and say, I see inefficiency here. I see fat here. I see fraud here. So we're working on doing that right now, holding folks' feet to the fire by saying we're spending already well over $70 million on police overtime. That's ridiculous. We're projected to spend over $113 million next year on police overtime. That's completely out of step with our sister cities, New York and L.A. They spend combined less than we spend alone on that. And so we want to make sure that, one, we're being thoughtful about any efficiencies that can be gained. Same thing with renegotiating some of our debt so that we're paying a lower rate. But let's be honest, about 8 years ago when Mayor Emanuel came in, same situation, they made serious cuts, and we don't want to be in a position where we're cutting the rest of our mental health right. clinics. We want to make sure that efficiencies reflect our values, because I know as an alderman with our constituent services office, we have folks who say we need tree trims, and there's a backlog there. We need potholes and resurfacing done so that we're not damaging our cars. So I think we want to be really thoughtful, not just say we're going to do this hatchet job, but instead be very precise, yeah. but also be honest in the fact that this is a revenue issue that's been building up over decades.
Well, that's a tremendous point, because it was sold as an expense and revenue issue, and mental health services and schools were closed, and we were supposed to be balancing the budget, and yet we still got a huge tax increase at the end of the day. So both things happened, which are not good for any situation. Alderman Matt Martin,
exactly.
47th Ward Alderman with me. He's part of the Chicago Progressive Reform Caucus. They put out their budget priorities coming up here for the 2020 budget. All right. Let me ask you this. You guys really pushed hard, and you really consider Mayor Lightfoot to be one of your own, in the sense that she ran on a progressive platform, and every one of the caucus kind of came out for her. Do you expect her to adopt these things just for the fact that she's part of the progressive movement? Or are you going to be disappointed if she says TIF reform is going to have to wait? You know what? Let's just go with property taxes.
Well, we're all very hopeful, because, to be honest, we all campaigned, as you were indicating, on similar platforms. We campaigned on equitable budgets. We talked about police reform. We talked about making sure that our schools are adequately resourced. And so now we're beyond the point of talking points, and now it's executing. And so I think when you look at the recent things that we've done collectively, whether it's ethics reform, whether it's Fair Work Week. I know we're all on the same page about a need to adopt a $15 minimum wage. I think you see that we have had successes at as a broader coalition of progressive members of city council and the mayor's office, and I'm very much hopeful that we can continue that good progress into a really critical time being this budget.
You talked about modernization of sales tax and that needs to go through Springfield. The session is about to kick off here next week or coming up here in October. There has already been talk that there is not a lot of love for the idea of what they call a quote-unquote Chicago bailout, and this idea that changing the tax structure, giving more money or more resources to Chicago is a non-starter among many downstate Democrats, even who don't want to bring that message back to their constituents. So is it a stretch to say that you're going to have success in modernizing sales tax or changing pension reform, anything that you want to get done for the city of Chicago and Springfield?
No, I think that we understand as a broader collection of city council folks and folks in the mayor's administration that some of the things we'll be pushing for, we hope that we can achieve shortly in Springfield, whether it's during the veto session or shortly thereafter, January and February. Other things might be a little longer of a push, and that's okay. I think you never know how certain things are going to break, so you always have to, I think, be ready to take advantage of the moment as it strikes. But I think it's important that we not call this a Chicago bailout. We are looking for the power to do things in Chicago area that benefit Chicagoans. And I understand some concerns that people might have in other parts of the state and how them empowering Chicago to do what's best for Chicago can be twisted. And, you know, we stand ready to have their backs to clarify and to correct those misstatements if and when they come. But to be honest, we need to make sure that we as Chicagoans are able to have policies in place that reflect our values. And sometimes that means going down to Springfield, working with our Chicago-based colleagues to ensure that the other folks in Collier counties and other parts of the state realize that as Chicago goes, so goes the rest of the state.
Yeah. Okay, my final question really is just about the situation with the Chicago Teachers Union. And they authorized a strike, and their members came out in full force, way more than the votes that they needed to be able to authorize a strike. You're seeing the mayor and Chicago Public Schools say, hey, we've offered a very generous raise. And you're seeing the CTU come back and say, it's not about money, it's about services and resources for the schools. Where does the Progressive Council or the Progressive Reform Caucus stand on Chicago Teachers Union versus CPS?
Yeah, we stand right now where we've always stood, which is we're a caucus, and one of our core planks is making sure that we're always fighting for adequate school resources. That means equitable staffing, equitable funding for every neighborhood school throughout the city, not just in particular pockets of privilege. We have and continue to fight for and support pushes to have a fair contract for teachers that reflects the critical work that they perform on a daily basis. So we continue that, and we support the work towards having policies in place that reflect those values as often as possible.
From your seat in the council, I mean, we've been talking about this all day here on WGN, but this idea that, you know, where is the city going to find money to negotiate a contract to add staff, to adequately resource schools, like you just said, neighborhood schools? I mean, it's a tough sell when indeed we are in a position of debt.
So our city is in better shape than it was several years ago, and I think that with this particular budget that we're looking at over the next year or so with CPS, that continues to be true. So we've received several hundred million dollars of additional funding from the state, which is fantastic, and with the TIF surplus, an aspect of our broader TIF reform package, about half of that surplus fund would go directly back into CPS. So I think that we have the resources we need in order to push towards more equitable staffing and equitable funding generally for CPS.
Alderman Matt Martin is with the Progressive Reform Caucus and City Council here in Chicago in the 47th Ward. Alderman Martin, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy to be on your program.
All right. It's interesting, though. You heard it. And thanks to the alderman for coming on this day. But that's an interesting notion that the city is in a better position. So when you hear the argument that says, oh, where are we going to get this money? Oh, we're broke. All this kind of stuff. We got this budget hole. Well, we're in a better position than we have in the past. And with all the money coming in for CPS from Springfield that wasn't there 2 years ago, does that change? If you take that out, if you say it's not about money, there's money to be had and to create this contract. What do you think about it? Does that change your thought about the negotiation, what's happening here? And it's also, we don't get into it because we got to move on, but there's more to talk about it. And it's not just about Chicago teachers and Chicago schools. This is a bigger fight about where we see public education going in the future, because they're ringing the bell for many other districts around the country when it comes to what is considered to be adequate staffing. Adequate staffing, adequate resources. Is it okay to have one social worker cover 10 schools? Maybe it was in the 90s. Maybe it was in the 70s. But in 2019, with everything that obviously our world has changed, do the resources and the staffing have to change with it? I think it's mind-blowing to look at a raise that's on the table from the city of Chicago to the Chicago Teachers Union that says, hey, you know what? If you take this raise and this whatever it is, I don't know the numbers in front of me, it's going to make your high-ranking teachers, six-figure teachers. It's going to be six figures across the board. You would think, no-brainer, done. Teachers are going to get six figures. But that's not what this is about. It's not a move for them to get paid more. This is about adequately staffing, or what they consider to be adequately staffed schools in neighborhoods, especially communities of color. And they're planting their flag on that. And it's an interesting thought, and I think a conversation we have to still have in this country about what is the right amount of people that should be teaching our kids. And should that be nurse, social worker? Should that be two teachers in school? Should class sizes be limited? Those conversations have to happen. And unfortunately, they only happen at a bargaining table. They never happen in year two of a contract where we're all going to get together and to say, you know what, let's figure out what's right. It only happens around a bargaining table. So I do see where the union's coming from. But you wonder about if, you know, saying if CPS says, yes, I'm going to, for sure, I'm going to give you guys, you know, 5,000 more social workers. Where's that money come from? And Alderman Martin says it comes from a TIF surplus. That's not necessarily on the table. That's what the Progressive Caucus wants. But boy, oh boy, that's a lot of people to be added to the role, and not to think that that's going to, like we just said, be passed on to the families of Chicago. An interesting conversation. I'm glad that Alderman Martin joined us tonight.